Flashback Twin Cities. Tom Osmond here for the next hour on KLDD Club 1220. I'm joined today by a special guest. You may have known her as Debbie Ely on TV, but her name is Deborah Ely Lawrence.
Nice long name.
And, you know, we're going to have a fun hour today. We're going to talk about some of the best and worst Christmas specials, talk about anchoring the news here in the Twin Cities, and what it's like to be a woman in the TV news in the early 80s. But speaking of women in TV news, I want to get this right away, but full show today. Diana Pierce, remember Diana Pierce?
I do indeed.
She's still on the midday show at Channel 11. And Diana Pierce posted something on Facebook yesterday. And Diana Pierce was a question on Jeopardy.
That's amazing.
I want to play some audio here. So I'm going to play a little audio bit here. And this is from Channel 11 News last night.
Show Jeopardy honored Care with a clue on today's show. Take a look.
Diana Pierce anchors the news on CARE, K-A-R-E, in this city. A lot better than Ted Baxter did on fictional WJM. Woody.
What is Cincinnati?
No. Evan.
What is Chicago?
Oh, no. Tiffany.
What is Minneapolis?
Minneapolis,
oh,
right.
Good for Tiffany.
Thank goodness for Tiffany. Ted Baxter was, of course, the news anchor on the sitcom The Mary Tyler Moore Show, which featured a fictional newsroom based in Minneapolis.
30 years in TV become a question on Jeopardy.
Ugh. What an honor.
We were talking over the show, and Diana's been on the same channel for 30 years anchoring the news in one form or another. You know, originally she did 5, 6, and 10, and she was doing 10 for a while, and then 5, and she's now doing the midday show with Pat Evans. So 30
God
years for Diana
her.
Pierce.
God bless her.
We can all spare to be a Jeopardy question, right? I was looking before the show today, and I wanted to do... Stan did a great show today on some Christmas music, on some of the favorite Christmas music of all time. What is your favorite Christmas special?
Charlie Brown, without a doubt. Yes.
I think Charlie Brown and Frosted Snowman are mine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the era of the 70s and 80s, a lot of the networks decided to put on the flavor of the day to make a Christmas special. Who is the big star? And then let's make a Christmas special about it. Even though the star, celebrity, might have had nothing to do with Christmas, their arc might have had nothing to do with Christmas. I found one, and this is one that a lot of Generation Xers talk about with disgust. And I'm going to play this for you guys here. And remember the movie Star Wars?
Yes.
Well, Star Wars, which is in a fictional universe somewhere far away, they actually decided to do a Christmas special. This is before the era of VHS video where you actually could watch the movies, so the only time you can watch Star Wars would be if they were lucky enough to show it on network TV, or make a Christmas special. So let's play some audio of this. It's actually too painful to listen to very long, but I want to just get a flavor for what this was. There's a little silence here at the beginning of this clip. Han Solo is trying to make it home for Christmas, or as they call it in this special, Life Day.
Why not take a good movie and really trash it, huh?
And this gets better. The stars that are part of the show, this is where we're going to listen to the star-studded cast here.
I'm sure these people look on this with disdain now that they're seeing it years later. I'm going to like...
Spirit, you'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it. Stand by, here's to a say goodbye to our pleasant friends. The Star Wars Holiday Special, starring Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, Harrison Ford as Han Solo, Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia, with Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca, R2-D2 as R2-D2.
Oh, brother!
With special guest stars, Beatrice Arthur.
Oh, my gosh. Now, what does Maude have to do with a Christmas special?
Diane Carroll.
Okay. We had a little variety, music, humor.
Harvey Korman. And an animated Star Wars story.
Okay, I want to keep some listeners for this hour. So that was the Star Wars Holiday
How
Special.
How did their agents allow them to do that?
This was underground for a long time. It aired one time on TV, and I think that even in some of the bad taste that might have been prevalent in the 70s, I think that even CBS might have thought, did we go too far with putting B. Arthur, Art Carney, Harvey Korman, and Harrison Ford in the same special?
Yeah.
So the only tape that exists of this is tapes that people were looking at the tape in 1978, and you know how people had VCRs in that era? Like three of them. But two of those people actually taped this special. It was underground, and I admit, I found it at a comic shop 20 years ago and tortured some people that I knew with it because I thought it was going to, I mean, I love Star Wars. I thought this was going to be a great thing to watch. And then after I watched it, I had to rinse my eyes out. And,
oh, yeah.
But this, George Lucas has gone on record saying if he could find every tape that has been bootlegged, now the internet has actually made this thing, mm-hmm. it's everywhere now. Mm-hmm. George Lucas has said if he could find the all the bootlegs, he would personally destroy all of them.
He doesn't even like his work, huh?
There is one more I want to play here. This was a Sesame Street Christmas, which sounds really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And there actually is two versions. One was a very sweet version that was done on PBS, and one was a very bad version done on CBS. Now, which one?
So you're going to play the really bad version, right?
Of course.
Of course.
This is a special Sesame Street Christmas with guest stars Ethel Merman and Michael Jackson. And this is Michael Jackson trying to explain the spirit of Christmas to Oscar the Grouch.
Okay.
One of the main reasons for seeing ghosts is because you are not keeping yourself busy enough. Your imagination is allowed to run wild.
Hey, fella, what's that book you're reading there, huh?
Everything you wanted to know about ghosts but were afraid to ask. It's really trash.
Oh, well, I happen to like trash. I tell you what, I'll give you this brand new broken portable TV for it, huh? What say?
Never mind, you can have this book gratis.
Yeah, but can I have it for free, too?
That, too. Merry Christmas.
Hey, well, I won't go that far, but thanks, pal.
See you later. Bye.
To avoid...
Remember that show on TV, The Odd Couple?
Yes.
I think we just saw it.
Well, I think the formula that thought that would work. Again, that's when you give the this wonderful idea of Christmas and stars, it doesn't always match to TV gold.
No.
Now you take Frosty, you take Rudolph, you take those are my two favorites. Mm-hmm. Twas the Night Before Christmas, a Rankin Bass production. 30 years on TV.
Oh, and Charlie Brown too.
But Star Wars and Sesame Street with Christmas just doesn't hold up.
It almost looks like a Saturday Night Live skit.
You wait for the laugh track to start. You wait for someone to say live from New York. Let's take a break. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, or a lot about, your experience in anchoring here at CCO. We had you on a year ago. Mm-hmm.
My husband commented. He said, so didn't we make this trip about a year ago?
1 year ago, but you know what? We just didn't even scratch the surface on things to talk about. So we'll be back here on Flashback Twin Cities and after this. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with Deborah Ely Lawrence. You've stuck around even though we had some really bad audio, so I appreciate you holding there. You came to Minneapolis in 1982 after working in TV in Iowa.
And I actually came in 81.
81, okay.
Yeah.
And to work on The Noon Report, mm-hmm. which was midday at that point. It was a talk mm-hmm. show. And mm-hmm. you came in to provide hard news and provide a different segment that they had not had before, correct?
Right. You know, it was a time where stations were looking to put on news programming because it's local programming and you can make money on it. And, you know, there was just an explosion in the interest in news. I mean, witness the dawn of CNN.
Mm-hmm. I had this TV guy here. He brought asking me today, the prospects for hour-long network news.
Yes.
How about 7 or 8 different news programs a day, then 4 hours in the morning, and then...
That's how the stations made money.
Are you amazed? Sometimes I am, that you used to have an hour local news in the morning, and now it's like for 4 hours now. Now it's like a radio show. I think 4 or 5 a.m., three of our stations here in town go for like 4 hours of news.
It is a lot of news. But, you know, you've got to look at it and say people are... you know, on different kinds of schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to have people that are shift workers. They have to be at work at 7. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why they're starting their news programming out at 5 in the morning. Because, you know, they're trying to deliver something to people before, you know, convenient with their schedules.
And I think that we are on a much less traditional schedule now than we were 30 years ago.
Absolutely.
I look at where my other job down the mill all week. There is no start and finish time.
No.
It's kind of when's your first meeting, when's your last meeting, and then what do you have to do afterward? And
absolutely.
Getting home at 5 o'clock?
Yeah. My husband laughs about the fact that, you know, in corporate America, 5 o'clock is when you're just starting to think about winding down the day there.
Well, and plus, think of the commute. I mean, the commute from either our downtowns now,
I'd
say even in the last 10 years, has... extremely more challenging than it was. And every year, I know that, I'm not sure if you were, but I was driving on the road on Tuesday, and this was like I could have gone to Duluth back, I think, at the time it took me to get to downtown Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I found a tape, and this is kind of what spawned my topic today. This is all the Twin Cities anchor women in one room. Now, if you didn't think it was possible, it was possible. You don't see that a lot. You don't see competitors in the same room together on talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, is it a different experience to have you and the other stations in the same room together? And then the topic was solely on women, so you have all the women together.
Uh-huh. You know, it was a lot of fun. It was almost like a sisterhood there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't get a chance to see everybody together in one setting, and that was a lot of fun.
Let's play some audio of this.
I started in Sioux City, Iowa, in radio and television, and started about 12 years ago and moved to this market in 1980.
1980?
Mm-hmm.
So you've been here quite a while, too.
5 years.
Did you start out as an anchor when you moved into the market?
I started as an anchor producer. I was producing and anchoring the old news section in the midday show, and then I started in doing the noon report and have just now moved to the weekends.
Mm-hmm. And Ruth?
Oh, I'm the new gal on the block here, one of them, at least. I graduated from college in San Francisco and went right to work at the CBS affiliate there on the assignment desk as an assignment editor,
mm-hmm.
which is the hot seat in the newsroom, I think. Hopped down to the NBC affiliate in San Francisco the next year, same job, more money. And then,
you know, I talked to a lot of people on the show that were in some really warm, beautiful climate then came here.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been Midwest your whole life.
I'm a glutton for punishment.
Aren't we all, right? Aren't we all? It's at balmy 11. It felt like summer today, 11 degrees. When I got outside, I didn't have to, you know.
You have an odd feeling of summer.
compared to the last 2 weeks.
That's true.
So you came in. You've been in the Midwest, so this was not a culture shock. But what was the difference between doing the news in Iowa to Minnesota when you came here?
In Sioux City at noon, a lot of your audience are farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had the farm markets,
mm-hmm.
and you have the barrels and the gelts and, you know, mm-hmm. all of that. Here, people wouldn't know what a barrel was if you put it on at the noon hour, because this is a market that's more of a cosmopolitan market. And so the type of information that you're providing at noon is vastly different here
mm-hmm.
than
mm-hmm.
it is in a small town like Sioux City.
But we still had, and I watched these videos, it was kind of the last breath of farm
mm-hmm.
integration within our Minneapolis-St. Paul. You might see that more in Duluth, you might see that more in Austin now, but we still had farm reporters, we still had farm reports, farm commercials.
On CCOAM we did.
Even on Channel 4, Channel 5, there was still Ag Day was still on.
Well, that's
There was still...
At 5 o'clock in the morning, weren't they?
They were up before we were, so...
Yes.
There was still a breath of that, and... I think my question is, you came to a station that was very well established. You
mm-hmm.
came to a station that had legends, nationwide legends. As a young woman from Iowa, was that intimidating to come up and work with these men who had really grown up with the industry and grown up with the dawn of TV?
I was starstruck. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time I had a chance to anchor with Dave Moore, I mean, I was just...
was he nice to you?
He was a charming man. Mm-hmm. Loved him very dearly. He added a breath of fresh air in the newsroom. I won't forget a time we were in... We used to office in this tiny space without a window, bad ventilation. I'm sure it would have been closed down. And he was reading over some stuff, and he said, "Who wrote this?" And it's a four-letter word that begins with S.
Stuff. Oh, wait.
And it wasn't that.
That's great. And I think that we've had we'll call your sisterhood on the show before, with different experiences in being women, because women in the 60s were kind of regulated to being weather girls and being eye candy for the news, because the men were doing the hard news and women would do feature reporting or they'd do entertainment reporting. In late 70s and 80s then, women were co-anchors. They were supposed to be an equal part of the news industry.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel any of those kind of growing pains from anyone you don't have to name names, but in either Iowa or Minnesota, that this was still new to them?
I would say it was probably newer to them in Iowa than it was here.
Interesting.
But I have to say, I think I entered a time in the business. If you asked me this question and I was working in the business in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
I think it probably would have been vastly different, even here in the Twin Cities. But I think I was coming into this market at a time where it was very accepted that women were in broadcasting. And so... Because of that, and because of people like Pat Miles and Ann Rubenstein and some really top-notch people, it wasn't an oddity anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. There's more audio from, this is from 1985. This is more of Debbie Ely talking about her life and teeth.
Mary, all but Kirsten. How do you handle a marriage? I'm sure most of you are married to people who work regular daytime jobs.
Well, I guess I'm very fortunate in that my husband was once in broadcasting, and so he's very empathetic to what mm-hmm. I go through. We've been married 10 years now, 10 years this past summer. That's kind of a milestone.
That is in the sense, yeah.
And he's very understanding of my hours. He's understanding when I get a call at 4 in the morning that I have to go out mm-hmm. and cover a fire or that I have to work till 10:30 at night. And I feel fortunate in that I'm starting a weekend shift now. This past weekend was my first weekend doing the weekend news at WCCO. And it's kind of nice because I have Mondays and Tuesdays to go out and do all of the chores that we have to attend to. And I have Saturdays until I go to work to spend with him. And I have my evenings with him. And that's nice.
Hey, everybody else, Pat?
I think it's
marriage and anchoring.
Marriage and anchoring, yes. I have to say, I'm married to a saint. He has he's endured that profession and the others that followed.
Well, and by the way, congratulations. That is a rarity that the same guy you're talking about in 85, he's still,
yeah.
He drove you in today.
Yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is a saint for sticking with me all these years.
Was it tough? I know you worked days or evenings in Iowa.
I worked days.
And you came here to work days also. But then you decided to give up your weekends and work the weekend beat. Was that a tough adjustment to give up every... I often wonder when you see a Joan Stephan or someone who did anchoring on weekends for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever miss having a Saturday night where you just are able to go to a wedding and be able to do what you want to do?
You know, I think because we didn't have kids at the time, it made it a lot easier. And, it worked.
Mm-hmm. What do you recall? You mentioned these 4 a.m. phone calls. Do you recall what one of your biggest or most memorable stories was those early days here at Channel 4?
Yes. The plane crash out in Reno. And I remember going out there and the call came in early, and that was quite an experience. I'd get calls about fires in the morning, an early morning fire where they wanted to do something live out there. There were a couple of other early morning things.
And to give some background, the plane crash in Reno was a Super Bowl charter that was going to come back to Minneapolis and crashed at takeoff, and all but, I think, two survived that crash. And that video actually is on tcmedianow.com if you want to take a look at it. I'm going to play a little bit of audio here of that event in just a moment here. But you and Don Shelby went out there reporting live from that.
Tony Vigneri was also out there. Yeah.
And what I recall from that, which would be different from today, is that was not 24/7 coverage. They did coverage at the news breaks in the day. I have a feeling that if that was happened today, this would be a chance for the news stations to really show off all their satellite technology.
It would be
a 24-hour event.
Yes, absolutely.
And there would not be any commercials played. I was watching this video, and you were, by the way, generous to give me some video of that event. They play commercials during this bit. I don't think that would happen today. I think they would be straight on with the crawl. They'd be interviewing eyewitnesses.
And I think the public has come to expect that, too.
And then also the other favorite one, I'm going to play this for you here. We did this last time you were here, but this is from 1987.
Oh, I know this one.
26 years ago. Let's plump this audio up here, Kyle.
Okay. Turn your light off for now, Nancy. We're in the middle of a drenching rainstorm here. We're west of Turner's Crossroads on Highway 12. I've been in the news business 13 years, and this is the worst I've ever seen it. It is so bad that we're having trouble keeping our equipment running. Our batteries fresh, cameras rolling. I'll tell you a little bit about what's happened here.
Set the stage for you. Our woman on the scene here, Debbie, is in the middle of a flood, knee deep in a flood, with a live microphone and
was
camera.
Was I stupid or what?
But you got the story.
I got the story. Yeah, I was just fodder for a lightning bolt.
But I think we talked about this last time. I want to story again. You're at home and you decided you wanted to go out and cover this flood.
Well, the weather was getting bad. And, you know, normally the newsroom would call you or you'd call them. And so I checked in to see if they needed any help. And bingo, I was out there on Highway 12 at what was in Turner's Crossroads. And a remarkable group of people that I worked with out there. Dick Nordling, Tim
McNeil,
our
friend,
yes,
right.
You know, they were just a remarkable group, and but boy, if my mother had seen that, I wouldn't have heard the end of it.
But we wouldn't have the great video to watch today, and to even get a little gulp in our.
It could have been even greater video if the lightning had hit us.
I have the video here pulled up here of this is actually in Reno. This is 1985, January 22nd.
And it appears that one of the propellers disintegrated in flight as it took off. And in a second account, an aviation consultant who was on the plane but got off in Lake Tahoe on Sunday said that he saw fuel leaking from the plane. Stephen Saul reportedly called that to the attention of a flight attendant, and he asked her if the plane was safe, and she said she wouldn't be flying it if it wasn't. The names of the dead crew members were released yesterday. All five of them are from the Florida area. And meanwhile, the list of the dead passengers has still not been released. We are awaiting that at any time. Now, a news...
If I recall, that list of passengers was tough to get out. They were not releasing any information for a long time.
Well, obviously, they want to make sure they've got it correct before they release it.
Does not make the anxiousness any less prevalent, unfortunately. I know that Don Shelby once mentioned at this event, he was out there too, that people kept going to him thinking, Don, you can help us get this passenger list, can't you? And I said, I have no more information than what the NTSB gives me.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Some pretty rough stories there, flooding and being out to a really tragic event out in Reno, and then you came back and anchored the news of talking about lifestyle events and everything else at noon. The noon show was new. You were the first. You know, it went from a talk show to a regular show, and this was when I think Channel 5 had not done one yet. This was the first midday news in this market.
Yes. And, you know, again, this was this period of time where stations were looking to do more and more local programming because they made more money being able to sell a full half hour or hour's worth of time than having to share it with a network. And so news programs became a license to print money.
And they still are.
And they still are.
And that's
right.
That's why some stations have it, 4 or 5 on a night now.
Absolutely.
And we'll continue. You worked with Bill Carlson and Bud Kraling and Tony Parker. That's
three
a lot.
Three charming men.
That's
I
a
love
lot of
them.
Years experience between those three.
Yes, absolutely. I was just in awe working with them because each in their own right, you know, had just fabulous talent. Bud was just equally, excuse me, Bud was just so charming, and as was Bill and mm-hmm. Tony. But, you know, it's almost like, wow, I'm working with legends.
Well, and these are guys that they were not just in TV. They were guys that really were there when TV was plugged in and, you know, mm-hmm. figured out how to make a dollar off it. I equivocated to the internet today. We still have not figured out how we're going to make money off the internet. There's ways to do it, and the way that newspapers and broadcasting and radio have to figure out how to coexist with the internet. But TV was the same threat to newspapers and radio in the 50s as the internet is to TV today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And somehow it'll all coexist and survive.
And something will come along that will take precedence over the internet at some point. We just don't know what it is yet.
We don't know yet. I mean, airwaves and broadband, something's going to happen. But what I find it so fascinating that we still have people that, number one, like Bud, who were around in that era, or two people that work with these guys that can actually talk about the early days of TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you were part of that, and that is...
Well, they were a part of it a little bit before
you were part of these guys' lives.
Right.
You weren't part of the exactly.
Yes, and like I say, they were just fabulous gentlemen to work with.
And you eventually went to do Weekends?
Mm-hmm, with Mike Walsher.
Now, I'm going to ask a question that's tough to ask. Was that your choice, or was that the station's choice to say, we're going to do Weekends now?
You know, I think that I had been approached about it earlier mm-hmm. and, you know, wasn't interested. I was enjoying, you know, having my Saturdays and Sundays free. And then it came up again, and it was the right time to do it. And it was another chance to be able to grow as a professional and continue working with great people. Mike Walsher was great to work with, Walt Lyons, who was on, and Tom Hanneman, great group.
First meteorologist in this town, Dr. Walt Lyons, on-air meteorologist.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a meteorologist, a doctor. No, we had him on the air, and you did that for about 3 years.
I did, yes.
And what was the biggest change? And we talked. Yeah, I saw the show there on TC Twin Cities Live, but what was the biggest change from going to daytime to weekends? Was there a change? Just another
more viewers. Sunday night was the most watched newscast, and so you did
more
feel
pressure?
A sense of pressure. Yeah, yeah.
You do live TV three times a night, and mm-hmm. we were talking out there about these holiday specials, and then about the Sound of Music that was on 2 weeks ago. And I watched part of it, and I'm familiar with the movie, and it's not my favorite movie of all time. I think it's a mm-hmm. classic, but I watched it, and I was reading the tweets and the feedback and. Everyone's a critic on the internet.
Everyone's one of the few people who was not.
I was not hard on our Carrie Underwood. It's not my favorite kind of music.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, she was doing a live stage show.
Exactly.
This was not a tape show. This was live.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already up against a lot of pressure because you're taking a classic and you're doing it on a TV network, and people don't like change. So you're already changing the show. And then you're doing it live. And also, you're not a stage actress who's done live theater every mm-hmm. night. You are a singer who's now going to play a classic Julie Andrews role.
Right. It's an impossible role to have to replicate.
And I didn't see any flub lines. I didn't see any rolling eyes or panting. And I think that it was a very tough crowd out there of critics.
I think so. And again, you're right. It is live television, and the sets are not going to look like what we saw in The Sound of Music, mm-hmm. where they really did film it in a mountainous area.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different, and I think she did a great job. Was it a piece that we'll all look at 30 years from now and say this was a television classic? Probably not. But I think, you know, again, I think the public's a little hard on her.
But I don't think next year in Flashback Twin Cities we're going to play it as one of the worst Christmas specials of all time.
I don't think it ranks there with the Star Wars show.
Exactly. Michael Jackson still did a much hokier job telling Oscar the Grouch the ghost than Carrie Underwood did.
Mm-hmm.
But you did three or four live shows a day. And did you ever – I equivocate that to doing like radio. I don't see the viewers – or the audience, but they're out there. And unlike a stage show where you see the audience out there, you're in a set, there's a camera there. Did you ever feel the pressure, or was it at that point, it was so, you know, you've done it for so long, you did it in Iowa, you did it here, that it doesn't even affect you anymore?
Well, moving from Sioux City, which is one of the smaller markets in the U.S., to the Twin Cities was quite a jump. And I would say, you know, probably my first 6 months, I was scared to death. And but, you know, you get through it. And then you start to see the people that you're working with not as gods and goddesses, but as just
colleagues.
Regular people.
Right.
And, you know, one of the most charming people was Dave Moore himself. And Dave was one who would never mince words if he didn't like something. And, you know, I really loved his refreshing attitude.
And so back to my point on Carrie Underwood, did you find criticism? Did you ever take every criticism of your work from TV critics or from consultants on, you know, do this differently or, you know, change your image a little bit? Did you get that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Both and not just here. Mm-hmm. You know, I got it in Sioux City as well. They had a consultant that they hired that would look at our tapes and then send feedback back. But here I remember there was a woman who they sent Ann Rubenstein, Mike Walsher, and myself out to like a weekend camp with her. And I think we euphemistically called it Anchor Charm School. And she was working with us about how we were sitting and what we were wearing. And she even came out to my house and looked at my clothing and was trying to suggest things that I should be wearing and other things that weren't in my wardrobe that I should be wearing. And
did they have like, oh, but we'll give it to you, right? Or did they tell you to go and buy it?
Well, CCO did have an arrangement, mm-hmm. You know, where we got some wardrobe compensation. So they were real decent about it.
That's good.
Yeah.
At least, now, you mentioned at least they brought Mike Walsher with you. It wasn't just the women had to go away to Anchor Camp.
Anchor Charm School, yes.
Anchor Charm School, right, right. 2 days of Anchor Charm School, that sounds painful.
Well, you know what? I think, you know, the television station had a lot of money invested in us. And if somebody could come in and give us some, you know, third-party observations, you know, it's a good thing. And some of the things you hear, you say, you know, that's just not me. And other things you say, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I can see, you know, why this doesn't look as good and why I can do something differently.
Did you get a lot of fan mail or detracting mail? Once your audience started expanding, did you find that the volume of, when I post things on Facebook, on you know, tcmedianow.com videos, I'm always amazed. There's always someone watching it. There's always someone commenting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you take this 20 years ago. I mean, I say 20 years ago because people didn't email 20 years ago. They hand-wrote letters.
They hand-wrote
type letters.
Oh, and they were great.
Did you save some of those?
You know, I think I did for a while, and in various
moves, yeah.
I think I probably lost them. But, you know, CCO at Noon had a very mature audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'd have grandmas calling wanting to know where I got my hair done.
Okay.
And, you know, I had people wanting to know, you know, where I bought something that I had on, or, you know, just calling to say that I reminded them of their daughter. And, you know, it was nice.
Well, that's good. Nice letters, too. Not scary ones, not ones in NICU. Or do you have some of those, too?
There were, you know, once in a while there was something kind of weird that came through, you know, and I just threw it away.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Debbie Ely, former anchor WCCO-TV, what you're doing now, and some more of these really great inside stories that that we like to hear. And we'll be right back on Flashback Twin Cities here on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with our guest, Debbie Ely. Deborah Ely Lawrence.
Whatever.
At the same time, we did this a year ago. I know you as Debbie Ely for so long, and then I
know.
Deborah Ely Lawrence. And by the way, I want to thank Kyle for coming in today. Tom, our producer, could not be here today. So, Kyle, thank you for all the quick audio moves and tolerating the audio I've been playing today because some of it was painful. So, I appreciate that.
I think that Star Wars one was pretty pretty much the worst one on there.
Pretty weird.
It's like the worst video ever made, I understand.
Yeah.
I wonder what the ratings were for that program.
It had to have been good. being Star Wars.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was,
that's true.
And we were just looking at this this TV guide here. There's four channels to choose from, so I'm sure they had a big share of the audience.
And that was in the days when cable hadn't made
many
inroads in this marketplace.
That's right. Maybe we'll do a KLBB showing of this and see how many people don't come. All right. This is December 31st, 1986, and we were talking about Bud, our friend here, and this was his 40th anniversary of TV, and Bud was in TV for over 50 years, and he still performs to this day. He's still working.
I aspire to be like him.
So stay his tenure here at WCCO-TV, and this is number 40, if you can believe that. I think that celebration was about 25, wasn't it, Bud?
Well, somewhere in there.
Well, regardless of...
what are you looking for, rain?
Looking for rain there, I'm sure. Something must be going to happen, I'm not sure.
Regardless of Don's ribbing, I think you look just as good today as you did back then.
I've always looked like this.
Yeah, that's right.
Practically all the time.
We had some baby pictures of Bud, and you looked identical to
him. Really?
That's a 1920 like photograph of Bud right there, and he looks the same as he does today.
I think one of the funniest, so just before we started doing this, Meg Benson, who was directing the program and wrote the program tonight, said, you've got 1 minute
to celebrate your 40 years.
Yeah. 40 years.
She said you get 15 seconds extra when it's 50 years.
All right. I'm going to start right at the top. This is the last.
There you go. You were very nice to Bud.
Oh, who couldn't be? Bud is a charming man, and I'm only disappointed that he wasn't able to make it over here today.
No, we were actually going to have Bud on today, but you know, it's not the best driving conditions, and we want Bud to be around a while.
Absolutely.
So we'll have him on again, and you know, come back for your third time. We'll do a Noon Report reunion sometime.
That would be great.
I want to talk more about the TV life. So you did weekends, and then you found life after TV. There actually is life after TV.
There is life after television, and it is a good life, I might add.
And did you think there was going to be life after TV? Did you think you wanted another career, another kind of job when you were anchoring? And
you know, I think I was realistic enough to know that there was a point in time where I wasn't going to be youthful looking, and time would take its toll on me. And,
well, it hasn't.
Yeah, well,
it has
kind.
Not.
But also that you know, there were just other things I needed to explore in life, and so you know, I think I left at the right time. I had great experiences there, but you know, there is life afterwards. And while there were women in our newsroom who were having children, Caroline Lowe, Pat Miles, to name a couple, I guess I wanted to get away from television and be able to live a different kind of life.
Because you didn't have your daughter until after TV, correct?
No.
Okay.
Our daughter was a late life gift to us. And in fact, I think she might be listening today from college in Augustana in Sioux Falls. And so kind of a shout out to her if
well,
she
I
is.
I promise we'd keep the show really clean today. And so besides some of the bad audio, we've kept it pretty clean. Was your background education in journalism? Is that what your education's in?
I studied journalism, yes. And I got a strong emphasis in business administration as well.
So what was your next step after TV? What did you do after that?
Well, you're going to love this one. I went to work for the Metropolitan Waste Control Commission, which at that time was a nice name for the sewage operations.
It's an important factor of life.
We need sewage operations, don't we?
There's job safety in that.
Yes, indeed. And it was my first experience out of television, and so it was learning more of like a 9-to-5 type schedule.
Was that tough? I know that I've had different jobs in my life, and when you bounce around from having these very evening-oriented hours.
Weird hours.
Weird hours where, you know, early as 11 o'clock, noon, and then you have to get up at 6 a.m., and those are some tough days sometimes to get used to.
It didn't take me too long to get used to Monday through Friday, 9-to-5, or actually, I think in this case, it was 8-to-4:30. And I guess I wanted to reclaim my life and learn some new things and expand, and some of the jobs that I held after WCCO and, you know, helped me to do that.
And was it majority public relations positions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I worked for the Minnesota Education Association, now called Education Minnesota, for, 12 years. Also worked in corporate America, worked with the old Lutheran Brotherhood, now mm-hmm. Thrivent, and so, you know, it helped me to grow as a professional.
And I guess in a way, you were very smart, because I think that the way the TV business changed, it's become more fewer ownership, fewer positions. The technology that's happened, and
it's been commoditized.
Exactly, and you know, we've had people on the show that have had some rough times. They've gotten out of the business, and now what do I do? I know how to do interviews. I know how to do TV, but I don't know if I could sit behind a desk. Or I don't know if I could do these jobs that are out there.
And you can, mm-hmm. because really what it is if you are a good writer, if you have an interest in learning, you know, I think those are the things you need to be able to go and move out into another job in the public relations field. You know, it's just that insatiable appetite for learning something new.
And you and your husband own a company.
We do.
Which is?
My husband is an auctioneer, and so am I. And it's Lawrence Auctioneering. We specialize in benefit auctions. And my husband is one of the best out there.
So if someone here wanted to inquire about the services, they would go to?
LawrenceAuctioneering.com.
That's fantastic. And I've seen some images and video of your work, and it is great.
Yeah.
And that's been got to be a lot of fun. You probably get people to say, didn't you used to be Debbie Ely on Channel 4?
You know, not so much. And really, Brent is more the face of our company. He's out there doing many more than I am. And he just does a sensational job. And it's so rewarding to help not-for-profits, many of which don't have a huge budget, be able to accomplish some of their goals and be able to extend their services by having a fundraiser and using the services of Lawrence Auctioneering,
and
of
as
course.
Someone who runs a nonprofit, I can appreciate
yes,
that. And again,
yes.
If you enjoyed the audio we played, the non-holiday audio, tcmedianow.com, go there. You can see if you missed Debbie Ely on TV, you can see her 24 hours a day on tcmedianow.com.
More than you want.
I wouldn't say that. And by the way, thank you for some of the great collection, you know, great pieces to the website. It's been really fantastic. And I was talking before the show started, the tapes you had, that a lot of people think these tapes are worthless. Don't throw them away. Keep them, because right now we're looking at a Tab commercial here
yes.
on the screen here. Let's pump some audio up here, Kyle.
Got it.
Serving and informing the Twin Cities for four decades. This is WCCO Television, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And now, Bill Carlson, Debbie Ely, Bud Crayling, and Tony Parker. Bring you Channel 4's Noon Report.
Good afternoon, everyone. Funding for Amtrak was put back on track this morning. The United States Senate voted to restore $616 million in federal subsidies to the nationwide passenger line. The 53-41 Senate vote derailed President Reagan's plan to cut Amtrak out of the budget altogether. That move would have spelled the end of Amtrak service as of September 30th. Closer to home, the St. Paul City Council today approved the sale of $10.2 million in public bonds to help finance.
I think the same stories are just recycled year after year.
I think that's the case.
I believe there's an Amtrak story this weekend. They're mm-hmm. going to close some stops. You know, you take stadium fights, Amtrak, tire safety. The same stories. Now
it just gets recycled.
Just gets recycled,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah,
new stadium, you know.
Yeah. The yeah. faces change, but the stories stay the same. When you watch video of yourself, is it embarrassing to watch video that's old?
No, I don't think so. I you know, I look at myself then and I go, oh man, to be able to look like that today, you know.
See, I can't tell the difference.
You're so kind.
But some performers or journalists, they don't like to see their own work, and I often wonder when I post videos and if I'm provoking people that used to work in this business when I post things online, or if they actually enjoy it. And so you're not bothered by seeing that stuff?
No.
That's
no.
Great.
You know, it was a great part of my life. I am so glad I did it. I met great people. I had experiences that I'll never have again in my life. But, you know, that was then and this is now.
And when you watch this video, do you remember these days? It's a point now where I get a photograph, and I think I can remember most things that happened. I saw a photograph of myself recently, and I don't even remember being there or doing that. And I I pride myself on having good memory and you know, walling people in my memory. But I'm looking at that picture of myself. I don't remember being there. And
were
doing
you
this.
Sober?
Pretty sure it was.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Much like I'm sure you were on the air all the time.
Of course.
But do you watch some of these events and dates and these stories? Do you remember being there and saying these? Or after so many programs that you have to you don't remember those days?
There are always going to be memorable stories. Mm-hmm. People that I met along the way that, you know, for some reason or other, you know, I did a lot of farm stories, going out to farms where, and this was, again, in the 1980s, that were being foreclosed upon. And, you know, some of the kindest, nicest families around. And so, you know, those kinds of things will always stay with me. News stories that were gripping, you know, you know, certainly the air crash out in Reno, some of those things, they'll always stay with me. And yet there are a few stories that, you know, it's like, I don't think I remember that one.
Interesting. So has there been a moment, again, where you're like, I don't even remember being there. I'm here, here's a picture of me with a microphone in this spot, but I don't even remember what I was doing there.
Yeah. I think, you know, you go out and you cover a lot of school boards and city council meetings mm-hmm. and things like that, and it's kind of like all the same thing over and over again. And, you know, I think of somebody like Karen Boros, who was out there covering the legislature, and, you know, that all has to be a blur because, you know.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, gosh. That would be my idea of agony.
But see, that was before the rules, before you could, you know, they could still have gifts and drinking in those days.
So, the good old days.
At least legislators probably had a little more fun than you now. Now it's, I mean, and by the way, speaking of stories, every legislature story on TC Media Now is a bitterly divided legislature.
Oh, isn't that amazing? And it hasn't changed.
And every year.
And never will.
It is the most divided legislature of all time.
Yes, some things never change.
No, some things never change. Do you miss it at all? And I know that you know, you've had a great career, you know, since TV. But is there ever a time where you're like, I wouldn't mind being on TV and doing this again?
You know, I don't know if I lust to be on TV again. Do I miss some of the experiences and some of the people I met? And yes, but no, I don't miss being on television. It was fun, and it was a great experience. I met a lot of interesting people. I have a lot of great memories, and thanks to you, we have a lot of video up there. But, you know, I'm happy with my life now.
Did you ever have any offers to go to other cities?
I did, yes. I hadn't been at CCO very long, and a fellow named Eric Ober called me, and he was with CBS in New York, and he was interested in visiting with me. And I had a couple of other opportunities along the way, or calls at least. But, you know, I'm a Midwest gal, and I just couldn't see myself. I didn't really like New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to stay here. And I was working at a great station with great management and great colleagues.
Well, we're fortunate you did stay. And again, I always wonder, if I had an offer to go to, and I love Minnesota, and this is my whole world here is based in Minnesota, but I wouldn't mind going to Southern California or Florida.
At least in the wintertime.
Maybe I'll be, you know, you're going to come back in July. But
yeah.
Thanks for being on the show today. It's
been
great.
Thank you for the invitation.
I hope you had fun today. Thank you again. And by the way, tcmedianow.com. You can see Debbie's work, Debbie Ely. And, of course, Lawrence Auctioneering.
Lawrence Auctioneering.
LawrenceAuctioneering.com. This is Flashback Twin Cities. Tom Osmond. We will be back next week. We have Alan Stone of KQRS, formerly of KQRS, on next week, talking about the days of rock and roll and the pre-corporatization of playlists. So it'll be really fun.
That should be good.
We will see you next week. This is KLBB Club 1220.